Francoise.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Traveling with Francoise. As we shift into today's kind of semi-travel mode, we're going to be talking some travel stuff, but we're also going to be talking about a bunch of other things, too, because Dick Shahab joins us today from McDonald's. Hey, Dick. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
It's been a while.
Where you been?
I've been to Nashville, and boy, we have something to talk about, about Nashville.
I've never been to Nashville.
No way. Well, we have to talk. Sean and I, we've had extensive discussions about this, so we're going to get into that in just a minute, but not yet. First, we have to.
They won't accept my passport.
No, they won't accept. Oh, you'd love it. I loved it there. It was so much fun. All right. Today's show is brought to you by, who's today's show brought to you by? It's brought to you by the Desert Entertainer. They are free all around the Coachella Valley. Pick one up and go on out tonight. We gave away the Carlsbad trip that went to Heidi Anderland, and she won, and she's from La Mesa. So we have people that enter contests from all over the place. So congratulations. We picked that on KSQ yesterday. Joining us in the boardroom, as always, is Sean Flanagan. Hey, Sean.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Yeah. So Sean is there working the buttons, and we want to congratulate our winners in the first hour. Lots of stuff going on here on the show. Of course, lots of the weather has been dictating travel left and right. That has changed a lot of things going on. So before you go anywhere out there to Florida or up the East Coast or into the Bahamas, whatnot, make sure that you check and see that the place you were going to stay is still there. But one thing about the islands, they in the Caribbean, and they really come back quickly, especially the tourist sections of those areas. I know there's a lot of devastation, but please check before you go. So a lot of stuff going on again in the world of travel. Traveling with Francoise, a Nashville show on TV. Do you know that I have a TV show, a 30-minute travel show on Fox 11? Dick Shahab.
No.
No. Did you not program into your VCR, whatever those, I don't even know what.
This
was
is VCR. Channel 11 in the desert?
In the desert here.
Or Nashville.
No, here.
Oh.
Here. The show's on Nashville. I just did, just started airing my 9th episode.
At what time is it?
It's at noon on Thursdays. And
noon on Thursdays.
Friday mornings at 5:30 a.m. on Fox 11.
5:30 in the morning on what day?
Friday.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So there you go. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. My first episode, I think, was January or something. I don't know. But I don't know how you missed it, but now you know. But this last show was on Nashville. So
I don't get up until 5:30.
Well, I don't get up at 5:30, but are you a morning person or
yep,
an evening person?
I'm a morning person.
Oh, you're one of those that likes to see the sun come up. And yeah, it is beautiful, but I don't know. There was a lot of people. I went to KESQ yesterday, Saturday morning. And Saturdays, I do a travel segment on the local news on Channel 3. And I get up at, and I'm there by about 6:15 or so, 6:20. And I am always amazed when I leave the house around 6, how many people are out and about. They're riding bikes, they're jogging, they're cars. I am surprised. I think, what do people have to do that early
in
the morning?
It's called life.
Is that? I do my life at night. How's that? I like night. Okay, so we have, again, lots of things that are going on in the world of travel. But right now, this segment is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration. Remember, all their fall classes have started. So give them a call at 760-321-1111. And I want to give you a heads up, because this is going to be here before you know it. Joshua Tree National Park, they have free entrance day on September 30th. So if you've never been, go on over to Joshua Tree and go for free. Yeah. And they're going to have a big season. You know, the national parks are getting record numbers of visitors now coming in. And that's a good thing. But it's also tough on them because they don't always have the amount of volunteers that they need. And a lot of the jets, the airplanes, United Airlines, they are adding new routes to different areas, from different hubs all over. So check on the routes now. They are definitely making it. They're keeping up with the travel industry. Speaking of that, you fly a lot.
I try not to fly as much as I used to.
Yeah, but you do fly quite a bit. Are you a global entry, so you can go right
yes,
through?
Yes, definitely.
You did do global
definitely.
Entry. Yeah.
I'd advise anyone who travels to go online, fill out the application, make an appointment, go down, and take care of it. It's so worth it.
Yeah. And it's. I think it's $80, if I recall. It's not that expensive.
No, it's very inexpensive for what you get.
For what you
just saving the time. of all the lines, and you go into TSA pre-check. On your way coming back in from overseas, you go. You don't go through the normal procedures. You just go to the kiosk, put your passport in, put your card numbers in, and all of it, and it just saves so much time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think more and more. For knock on wood, I keep getting a TSA pre-checked the last year or so whenever I travel, which is nice. But I told a story just on the last show that I was with a group of people, and I decided to go with a group. Why I did this, I'll never know. And go through regular. Screen, yeah, that, and then I had my laptop at the bottom of my suitcase. It was just, I said, not again. That I don't need to go with the group. So anyway, yeah, do make sure you get your global entry. Here's something I saw that I have never seen before. This is on Norwegian Bliss, Norwegian Cruise Lines. They now have a go-kart track on the top of their ship Bliss. Here, look at this. Is that incredible? What next on the cruise ships?
The only thing I could say after looking at this diagram is careful on that last left turn. You're going to end up in a big wave.
I mean, I looked at that and I said, are you kidding me? A go-kart track? I mean, they have, looks like regular size, and this is a large track. And this is the largest racetrack at sea and ocean loops, a double water slide that swooshes guests 11 feet over the side of the ship and 16 stories above the ocean on this ship, Norwegian Cruise Line Bliss. Wow. Where are they going next? I don't know. But I thought I'd seen everything with the driving range. Some of them even have a little mini golf course on top. But now this, if there's something for everyone out there, so you don't want to miss it.
Entertainment.
And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back, is entertainment. And we also want to talk a little bit about McDonald's. Lots of things going on at McDonald's.
Many.
Yeah, I made some notes here of what I have noticed lately, and we're going to talk about that and so much more. So on that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, Dick Shahab is staying with us, and we're going to talk about my Nashville McDonald's experience, which I know you can't wait to hear about, and more. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio, 1200 AM and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to Traveling with Francoise. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host. Great for joining us today. We're kind of mixing it up a little bit because it's really hard to get this fellow, Dick Shahab, into the studio because he is so busy. He is the owner in the family, the kids, everybody works. You all work together of 18 McDonald's in the Valley, 19?
Yeah. 32 altogether. 18 here in the Valley. Here.
Just 32. And I know that you are all over the place at all of them because you are really a hands-on person and just like to see how everything is going. So now this is what we need to talk about, Dick. When I was in Nashville, there's a McDonald's there claiming that they are the only McDonald's in the U.S. to have live entertainment. Did you know about this?
Yes.
Did you know? So now, Sean and I feel that we might have a McDonald's here that would have live entertainment. Have you ever considered that?
Yes.
Oh, you have? Mm-hmm. Because I'm getting this vibe from the commercials. There's a lot of new commercials. I don't know. If I'm wrong here, call me out on it. But I'm seeing McDonald's, I'm getting a more of an adult vibe from the commercials.
It's not so much an adult vibe. It's more of an understanding that our customer base is expanded. And when you look at the difference in the customer base now compared to 10 years ago, you look at the growth of the millennials and what their purchasing power is, what their needs are, and what they want, then you have to take a different look at the approach that you take to earning their business.
Well, I think what struck me about the Nashville store is, well, a couple things struck me. Because first of all, people, when they travel, consider McDonald's comfort food. You know that. They know regardless of everything else they're getting, that they can always go to McDonald's, which was right down the street from the Grand Ole Opry, by the way, very close to the Opryland Resort and Hotel. And I heard people on the bus say when we were coming back from a History of the South tour, saying, oh, yeah, I think I'm just going to go to McDonald's today. I'm feeling that kind of food. And plus, they heard about the entertainment. So it was interesting. And then on the way to the hotel from the airport, people said, oh, great, there's a McDonald's right down the street. So we know we can just go down there, which I thought was interesting that so many people commented that there was one there telling me what how it makes them feel comfortable when they're traveling around to different areas that they don't know, that they see a restaurant that they can depend on and know what's on the menu.
I've many years ago, I was traveling in Spain, and I'd been away for a couple weeks, and I'm walking around the Plaza Central in Toledo, and I sniffing around. I said, there's a McDonald's here someplace. I know it.
And did you find it?
I found it. It was... It was just great, just great.
Well, with that said, you had just mentioned that things are, I don't know, changing at McDonald's. How so?
Well, we're getting a renewed emphasis on sustainability, a renewed emphasis on clean labels on our products, new products, new tastes in products. An example, and you're going to hear about it relatively soon, we have a new buttermilk chicken tender coming out.
Mm.
It's absolutely delicious.
Yum.
It's all white meat, no preservatives, no added. It's just a great product. And when I was sampling them the other day, I sampled too many of them. They are absolutely delicious.
Well, you have
delicious.
To know.
Yeah. Special sauces, again, the sriracha sauces. So popular now. Mm-hmm. And then we have another signature sauce that's coming out, too, that'll be really, really good with it. In addition to that, we have expanded the whole Mac Cafe line. And some of the new products, you know, I always like to sort of play with some of these things. You know, they have double consonants in their names.
Mm-hmm.
Think about a caramel macchiato. Have you ever seen a word with two C's in it? You know, macchiato.
Well, and those are all, because I don't know anything about those drinks. I'm not a coffee person, but aren't those all related to coffee products?
Of course they are.
Yeah, okay, so they're all, and I saw,
that's
I see
why
the
Mac Cafe line.
The cafe, because on the new commercial, they show 10 different types of drinks there. And I think, I guess.
So tasty.
Yeah.
Great way to start the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then more and more of our customers are coming in. Mid-afternoon, late afternoon, mm-hmm. they'll walk in and they'll want, you know, I want a cappuccino, whoa,
yeah.
That's another one, a cappuccino.
Yeah.
Double P, double C. Mm-hmm. Figure that one out.
Yeah, no, I don't. If I can't pronounce it, I'm one of those, I probably won't, or I'll just point to
absolutely
it and say I want
delicious.
One of those.
Absolutely delicious.
And this is a lot of, I know you do a lot of testing down here in the Coachella Valley on test of meals. So the sriracha sauce, though, that is going to stay now? Is that going to stay a menu item?
It's staying as a menu item.
Okay, because you tease us, and then all of a sudden, McDonald's, you guys all decide, well, maybe we're just going to pull it and bring it back once in a while. So that one is staying.
No, it's not locally. We don't have that decision power.
You know,
it's made from out of the area. You've had enough of it. We're taking it away and give it to somebody else. But after enough comments come back and forth,
mm-hmm.
or it's back.
It's back. Okay.
It's back.
So that is staying. So now you have the new McCafe line coming up. I see a bunch of new commercials all of a sudden. I feel they're new. Are they new? Have you seen a lot of new commercials? I'm sure.
I see a lot of commercials.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of commercials. They feel new to me. Like I say, they feel more adult driven, but I don't, and maybe I shouldn't even bring them up anymore, but the clown, is the clown not in the picture anymore? Ronald McDonald?
Do you want me to set you up with Ronald McDonald? Well, is that what you're talking about?
The clown's not there. I mean, I know Sean. Well, did you notice that? He's shaking his head.
No, I'm just saying.
Ronald will be around.
Yeah?
Ronald will be. He might change a little bit.
Oh, really? He's due for a makeover.
You know, but he's a pretty good guy.
You know,
he does good stuff.
Well, he does great stuff. And the Ronald McDonald House, in fact, congratulations on your part being nominated and being honored as one of a few good men coming up. I was talking about the event earlier. Congratulations
to you.
Thank you
very much. Thank you.
You do a lot behind the scenes that people don't realize. Ronald McDonald House is huge, what they do for 45% of the families here with children go to the Ronald McDonald House. So it's big out of the Coachella Valley, and people don't realize that they use the Ronald McDonald House. So, again, congratulations on
that.
Thank
you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, all right, back to what we were talking about, new items. Talk about food items. You have the chicken nuggets. Are they, they're going to be called McNuggets still?
What, they're
tenders.
Always, no.
Tenders,
no.
A strip of chicken.
Right.
Okay.
A McNugget is a very special part of McDonald's history. Mm-hmm. You know, they invented the product. McDonald's invented the nugget.
The nugget. The, okay.
All goes back to a guy by the name of Fred Turner. And Fred was Ray Kroc's number one for many, many, many years. And after Ray passed, then Fred continued the mantle even past his retirement. You know, he just was always there for us. Super guy. Super guy.
Do you ever come up, are you ever in the kitchen sometimes? And this is probably a weird question, but it popped into my head, so I'm going to ask. Are you ever in the kitchen and you're kind of making, cooking, messing around in the kitchen, looking at food, and all of a sudden you think, huh, you know, that might be a good product for McDonald's. Have you ever discovered a food item?
No, I've discovered them, but every time I have presented them, they don't work.
Oh, they don't work. Okay. They don't work. All right.
You know, my recipes and a dime will buy you a cup of coffee. You know?
Okay. But you have. But now you don't do it anymore just because. Well, I bet you do. I bet all the time you're thinking, this might work. This might not work. So, all right. Let's talk some more. What is going on? What else do you, what's going on at McDonald's?
Well,
lots
McDonald's,
of things.
McDonald's, you know, continually evolves. Mm-hmm. It never stays the same. From year to year, it always continues to get better at getting better. And after the first of the year, there's going to be a new value platform that comes out. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very, very impressive. And you're going to see new products that are on different menus, pieces. You'll see more products on the all-day breakfast, which is very, very successful.
Right.
You're probably going to see additions to our pastry lineup. Muffin tops. I love muffin tops.
Are they going to have muffin tops? That was Seinfeld, I think, they discovered muffin tops. Elaine on Seinfeld, you're going to have muffin tops.
Muffin tops.
Mm. I bet
macaroons.
Macaroons?
Yes.
How about the June, the slider, the Big Mac slider?
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
I liked that.
No, it wasn't a Big Mac slider. It was a Mac Junior.
Well, to me, it was a little slide. It was perfect. I love that burger. Okay. See, I don't have any pull in this, none at all. So there's a lot of new items coming out, which means incorporating it, that everything in Alton, the menu changes. How hard is it for a company as large as McDonald's? How hard is it for you to change all the menus on a regular basis?
There's only so many square feet in a restaurant. There's only, a kitchen is only so big.
Mm.
And so when you put products on, just by necessity, you have to take products off. And so making that decision is always difficult, but it's happened. You know, one of my favorite products was the wraps.
I loved the wraps.
I love the crispy chicken wraps.
Very good.
With the Thai sweet and sour sauce. I just thought that was a phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, you know, my opinion and... I'm sorry, 59 cents will get you a cup of coffee.
Well, but doesn't, the Midwest or something, if they have an overwhelming amount of want or need for a certain product, does headquarters say, okay, this item is huge here, let's say in Montana and South Dakota, and so this one area or this large portion of the United States loves this item, maybe not so much on the East and West Coast. Do they ever just say, we'll keep this item there? Oh,
sure.
They do.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
In Boston, maybe Maine, they have the lobster roll sandwich.
Oh, they have a lobster roll.
Right.
Huh.
And there's other areas that have different, I think there's some different tastes in Hawaii. You know, they have Saimen and Portuguese sausage with the big breakfast. California, we had a lot of different iterations. That changed. But once again, we started all the signature craft. It started right here in Southern California.
Hmm.
You know, that's why you have the pico guacamole, and it's why you have some of the other sauces and stuff. They all started here. Most of the innovations that take place in McDonald's start in Southern California.
Yeah, I mean, that's why. Why is that? Well, McDonald's started in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And San Bernardino, am I?
That's correct.
Because I heard you at a lecture. You did a great job. I think a lot of people were surprised because they really didn't know that much about the history of McDonald's. In fact, and I don't know if it was one of the co-founders that was there at the lecture at UCR. It was someone that you introduced in the audience who'd been with McDonald's a long time. And I can't think of his name, but he had been with the company, I think, from the start.
He was one of the original operators.
Right. One of the original operators was there, and he came to hear you. So that was a nice surprise. But there's such a long history with McDonald's, and it's evolving and changing. And now I don't think you're getting away from it being a family restaurant.
No.
That's not
the
most.
It'll always be a family restaurant.
Yeah.
Just take the evolution from the Playland. Remember, it was an outdoor play place.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was indoor. Then it got into slides and characters. And now, in many of our restaurants, it's electronic games.
Mm-hmm.
There's games on the tables. There's
yeah.
I think I've told you the story before. I was at one of our restaurants, and there's a kid, a little boy. I'm going to say 5, 6 years old, 7 years old. His father's on the game, and he's pulling at his father's shirt, said, "Get off, it's my turn." You know, so.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, but parents are addicted to that. Well, so much happening. I think what I'm going to do right now is we're going to take a break. And I know you are very busy. We're going to find out what you want to do, if you want to stay or have to leave or whatnot. A lot going on. So you folks out there, stick around. We have more right here on Traveling with Françoise. We're going to step aside for just a minute. My guest right now is Dick Shahab. And, of course, he has all the McDonald's here. I don't know why I say of course. I don't even know how that fits in. But he is the owner of all the McDonald's here in the Coachella Valley. And they are all over the place. So we will be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. Back to the show, everyone. I'm Françoise Rhodes, and you're listening to Traveling with Françoise. We are in our travel mode of the show today, but joining us, a rare occurrence because he's so busy, is Dick Shahab. He is the owner of McDonald's. And Dick, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, I love coming over.
I have him chained to the seat so he can't leave, just because we probably won't hear from him again for another 6 months or so. Because you, well, see, you've been to Colorado, you've been to British Columbia, you're traveling all the time for business and a little fun.
A little fun.
A little fun. Well, we had the devastation of Hurricane Irma and Harvey. Hurricane Harvey, then we had Irma. Enterprise Holding, they lost about 3,000 vehicles in Houston due to flooding caused by the hurricane. It says Enterprise's goal is to send 17,000 vehicles to the southeast Texas by September 30th to meet demand, and is waiving one-way rental fees for people returning rentals to Houston. And, of course, Royal Caribbean and Carnival, they had to reroute a lot of ships. They say some of the ships are going back on the originally planned ports of call before the hurricane came. And then the Florida Keys, they had a lot of damage. Of course, we saw that on the news over and over and over. And they want people to make sure that they check on all these sites before they go there. So it made me think, of course, damage, power outage, all these people coming in droves to help with the hurricanes. How does McDonald's, because you guys give back in a lot of ways back to the community, the people, they don't even realize that McDonald's is part of. How does the corporation, what do you do in cases like these huge events that are happening?
First of all, everything that you spoke about is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination of the corporation and the owner-operators in the area. They get together and they just make sure everything is right, or as right as it can possibly be. In the case of Houston, I think 100 stores opened up as soon as they possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
They were providing food and much-needed supplies, lots of bottles of water, but more importantly, food. There was no food. You know, unfortunately, we were able to help out. The operators in the area got together, made sure their employees were safe as mm-hmm. much as they could be, made sure the stores were able to operate. took care of the families of their employees. The corporation came in with massive amounts of help and aid to make sure everything was set up as best as it could be. The first responders came in. They were taken care of on a priority basis.
Mm-hmm.
And just understanding that McDonald's is always part of the fabric of the community that they operate in. And we're there. And I can think back a few years ago here when we had some earthquakes. And our old restaurant in Cathedral City was very large restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, we had power. Fortunately, we had supplies. Fortunately, McDonald's sent in supplies. And we were able to take care of it down here. Also, not too many years ago in San Bernardino, major fires up there.
Mm-hmm.
And our restaurant on Del Rosa and Highland became a hub for the first responders, firefighters. And I remember we were going 24 hours a day, thousands and thousands of hamburgers and water and juice. And but that's what we do. We're just part of, we've been here, and we're going to be here.
Yeah.
And so we're part of it.
Well, it's very commendable, and I think a lot of people don't realize what goes on behind the scenes when there are tragedies and Mother Nature strikes back in her own way of that you're there to help, that McDonald's is there to help. And I'm sure with the corporation's help that you can actually form a game plan very quickly as soon as you know what condition the stores are in.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
The important thing is keeping the power supply going,
mm-hmm.
you know, and once you do that, then you have your refrigeration. Once you have your refrigeration, then you can prepare whatever you need to prepare.
Right.
And then you get your energy up, so you have your gas and electricity, then your fryers go and your grills go, and you can keep going.
Mm. So, and the people, your employees that come in. I mean, they have tragedies of their own, but yet they come in to help everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's really a good thing. Of course, this has affected so much here in the United States, these hurricanes. But we're getting back to normal, slowly getting back to normal. There are some travel warnings out there. There's a travel warning in Cuba. Does Cuba have a McDonald's?
No.
Are they getting one?
Not under the current situation.
Oh, okay. All right. There is an alert for Kenya. There's a travel alert there. There's also a warning in Haiti, and there's also a warning in Kenya as well. Where is the most off-the-charts place that you can think of that there is a McDonald's restaurant?
Thanks a lot for that one.
No. You can't, don't, doesn't somebody just say, hey, Dick, did you know they opened one in wherever?
I have never been to the McDonald's in India.
Oh,
I have never been to the McDonald's in the Middle East, although a very good friend of mine has just recently got promoted to the president of McDonald's mm-hmm. in the Middle East. I understand that they obviously don't serve McRib in the Middle East, right? India, the hamburger patties are different. They're not made of beef. They're made of lamb.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. And so there's different places have different hiccups. And the ones in Latin America are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites is on the Champs-Élysées in Paris.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That is just a phenomenal restaurant.
Pommes frites. French fries. They have to have good French fries. All right. Well, I know you are going to be leaving us here shortly. Anything new you want to tell us? You always tell. He always says to me every time, Sean and I laugh about this, you say, there's things that are happening, Francoise, I can't tell you about yet. Is there anything that you can't tell us about that you're going to tell us about?
Yes or no.
Okay. So, all right. Fill us in. We want to know.
McDonald's, the one thing about McDonald's is it's constant, and it's there, and it always strives to get better. Mm. It always strives to get better. And when we find communities that need our assistance, we're there. And when we develop with the communities. And as you know, we've made some major changes in our restaurants down here.
Mm-hmm.
Our Desert Hot Spring store has recently been completely remodeled. Mm-hmm. Most of our restaurants have been remodeled. Our restaurant in Thousand Palms is going to be relocated, just about a quarter of a mile from where it is.
Really?
Our restaurant in Palms Desert, unfortunately, is not going to have a drive-thru. But we're still going to do some work and remodel that one also. And so all of our restaurants down here will be totally remodeled by probably the end of 18. Then we'll start in the other areas and keep going.
Okay. One more question. The kiosk, are they becoming as popular as everyone thought they would be?
Kiosks are always a work in progress. Mm-hmm. In some of our restaurants, they're immensely successful. And some of our restaurants, it's going to be a long time coming. You know, it's different based on the age of our customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in restaurants that have a high senior population that frequent the stores, their use of kiosks is not as good as those in Disneyland or in Del Mar because the age difference.
Right.
You know, also, there's a few hiccups in the kiosk. Remember, a kiosk is a non-cash transaction.
Right.
So some people want to go in and they want to pay cash.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to go to the counter. If you want to go cashless, then you can go to the kiosk. But more and more and more kiosks are going to occur. You take a look at McDonald's once again in France. You know, you might see 15 or 16 kiosks in a restaurant, throughout the restaurant. And you take a number and have a seat, and your meal's brought to you. But that's different than in the U.S., remember?
Yeah.
Remember, you've heard us talk about the drive-through phenomenon and what it is for McDonald's. Well, if you're in the middle of Paris, you're not going to have a drive-through.
Yeah.
If you're in the middle of Rome, if you're wandering around the Spanish Steps, there's no drive-through.
No drive-through, no. And right? I'm a drive-through gal. That's my, I don't know.
So it's different. It's just a different piece.
I have to admit, I have been obsessed lately with the strawberry shake. Let's not go there. I just am loving those. That's all
I'm noticing the little pink things
on
you.
Did you know? I don't know. Well, Dick Shahab, thanks so much for joining us. Again, congratulations on your honor for a few good men, outstanding business leaders here in the community. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for supporting the show. Really appreciate it. Always fun to have you on. And I want to thank you for the little gift cards that you give everybody. All our prize winners, they get a McDonald's gift card. So thank you for that.
Well, Francois, you're so welcome, and continue doing the wonderful job.
Well, and we'll see you in 6 months, no, maybe sooner. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to finish up with our travel news. We'll be right back, folks. You're listening to Traveling with Francois right here on Money Radio. All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Always so great to have Dick in the studio, and he was telling me about lots of changes coming up, McDonald's, all good stuff. All right, let's see. We do have those tickets to the Cabot Museum in Desert Hot Springs. If you would like those, give us a call, 760-440-8255. We were talking about the go-kart track on top of the Norwegian Bliss. How's this? Sean, this might be something for you. The Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay, they are offering an elevated drone class. It's about drone. Learning how they have classes now. It's the Drone Academy to learn how to fly drones when you stay at the Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay.
Have you ever tried to fly a drone?
No, I don't. I think I'd crash. Cameraman Steve has one. I'm pretty sure I'd crash it.
It's amazingly more difficult than it seems.
Yeah.
It's really, because it's like, oh, yeah, that's easy. And then you start to go and it just doesn't go where you want it to.
Well, it's hand-eye coordination, too. You're looking at this little screen that's a camera on the drone. You're not really looking at the drone.
Well, the one that I have, it's a like an old-school, just kind of a remote like you would for, you know, a little RC car. Mine is a very inexpensive one. But I figured I did that on purpose so that when I keep crashing it, it's not just watching money fly away, literally.
Yeah.
So.
Well, classes start. What you get video, complimentary video when you're done, footage that you've used. But the experience, they call it, begins at $300 per person.
Wow.
Which seems a little high to learn how to fly a drone.
A little bit.
Yeah,
Does it come with the drone at the end?
Like, yeah, you don't get to keep the drone. No, sorry.
So you get a BYO drone?
No, you don't get a drone. But it's the Ritz-Carlton, so what can I say? Yeah. Here's something else, too, that I found in the news that... at the 8th Annual Alliance Travel Insurance Vacation Confidence Index, that's a big long name there, released by Alliance Global Assistance, more than half of Americans, especially millennials, are not taking their paid time off. And it's called vacation shaming, that other people don't want to hear about people taking their vacations, and a lot of people don't want to take their vacations. And that's really, they're trying to figure out how to talk, the 48% of them are millennials, how to talk them into taking their vacation. Why would someone not want to take their vacation time?
Social media. That's what I feel like it is social media. People are tired of looking at vacations to where people see it as a negative thing now.
Well, don't they want to go?
I would think they would want to, but you said it's vacation shaming. They're scared of what people might think. Yeah. And that just sounds ridiculous. And the only reason that seems like that would be happening was because too many people are posting it up on social media.
Well, they are. And they do say that is the most annoying post now.
And food.
Yeah, and food.
Me staring at your plate, that's annoying too.
Right. I get away with it because the travel show.
Right.
Because I tie it all.
Yeah, it's supposed to do that. My friend Bill from down the street, I don't need to see his pork chops on a Thursday night. You know what I mean? It's not necessary. If there's like chefs and stuff, them putting up their food is fine. Or like you said, you know, with you traveling around, that's all okay. But if it's just a filler, then I think that's where people get annoyed.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Well, I don't know. You will never convince me why someone wouldn't want to take their vacation, just not post on social media. I don't know.
Right? That seems like the perfect way to do it.
Yeah, wouldn't that be the do? Just don't post it. Just exactly. Go and have a good time and don't post it. All right, if you want to do something different, we might do this on a bus trip, a Traveling with Francois bus trip. I'm going to start my own trips with the help of a few good friends, and I'm working on them right now. So I'll be breaking the news of where our first couple are going to go, and they're going to be day trips to start, and then we're going to branch out into maybe, who knows, maybe overnight or something. We'll see, but let's just start with the day trips. Borrego Springs Resort, they are opening their golf course pretty soon. I need to find out more about them, but if you're going to book your room for Borrego Day, it's October 20th through 22nd. You better do it now because this town will definitely fill up. Something else you might want to do, because the migration is going to be starting for the whales that are going to be going, they're going to be going south from up in Alaska and Canada and those areas. They'll be going down to Mexico now that the winter is coming. So whale watching might be the thing for you at Dana Point, at Dana Wharf Whale Watching. She sends me some of the cutest videos, which I post on my page. And for those of you who love flowers, here's a cruise for you. This is a tulip cruise. It's a 10-day tulip cruise from Amsterdam, and it ends up in, they go into all these different little cities in Holland and Belgium, and then it ends up in Amsterdam, back where you started, and it's just, it's such a great price, too. What was the price on this? It was, I don't know, it's 29 or 25 or... How come I don't see the price on here? Anyway, this is through Adult Customized Tours, and it happens in April, and you're going to see this beautiful tulip fields that they have. So if you're into flowers, this is probably the trip for you. Oh, $24.95 includes airfare. You can't beat that. And that happens in April. So a lot of things going on. They have a lot of trips around the world, international trips for everyone to consider. So go to their website, act-tours.com. In fact, we're going to have Lalo on and Steve on, I think it's next week, and they're going to talk about, they went to Kenya, where there's travel warnings.
Right.
They went on a safari, and they also went to see the Great Migration.
Right on.
Which had to have been quite fascinating.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. So we see it on the Travel Channel and all this, they have the long documentaries about the Great Migration.
National Geographic.
They saw it, so we're going to hear about it. And if you'd like to volunteer at the Salton Sea State Recreation Area, they're looking for volunteers. That information is on the website, travelingwithfrancoise.com. All right, how about this? Agents reveal the bizarre request. Some of their most bizarre requests that people ask travel agents, which I look at these and I would be embarrassed if I even said one of these. This one maybe not so much, because you might think at some point you could. But one of them is, can I fish off of a cruise ship? Whoa, but you kind of think now if they have go-karts and golf courses and basketball, that they'd have a platform.
See, my thing is I've never been on a cruise ship, okay? But from the stuff that I've seen, I feel like you're really far from the water.
You are really far from the water.
So, like, how would you fish that?
Well, you couldn't, because the ship's going so fast. Right. Pull everything
I understand, like, it makes sense because there's so many things to do, but I feel like you're really far from the water.
So, I think that's a no. Here's another one. Do they speak English in Britain? Won't even answer that one. How about this one? Are there toll roads on the way to Hawaii?
Well, that's an ongoing joke because there's interstate highways for some reason.
But on the way to Hawaii?
Right, no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Everybody has to get up and throw quarters at the stewardess.
Yeah, and these are bizarre requests that have been asked of travel agents. All right. Can you make sure I don't get a window seat on the plane because I just had my hair done? Okay, here's one. I'd love a train trip to Africa. No, I mean I want a train trip from New York to Cape Town. Can you please book the honeymoon suite for all of us and another couple? Are these not travelers?
They're people who are calling and asking if your refrigerator's running.
Well, here, this one should really take the cake of all of them. I want to take a cruise to Las Vegas. Does the crew actually sleep on board the cruise ship?
So does he want to work on?
They want to take a cruise ship to Las Vegas. Can you imagine a travel agent's face when someone asks them these questions? And these are real. These are not made up. These are all real requests of travel agents that have shocked them so much they save these so they can make fun of people who ask them. All right, no, they don't. But we can make fun of them because we don't even know who asked them. Here's one. Can we drive our rental car in Hawaii out of state? We want to go to Alaska from Hawaii. After all, they are the 49th and 50th states on the map. So there must be a bridge, right?
Right. There has to be.
Okie dokie. And here's one. I would like to go somewhere where there are not a lot of men. I think a woman probably asked that.
Yeah,
one.
But okay. So she's obviously scorned for some reason. But yeah. What?
She could go to one of those. She could go to, they have cruise ships, resorts, a lot of places now, they offer week-long excursions right. For just women or just men or however. They do try to offer, or single,
right.
A lot of single and a lot of couples. So there is just about something for everyone.
There's not really a location, though.
No, just not a lot of men. Okay, and this person asked, how can I get to Europe without going by air or sea?
I mean, there's teleportation, but that's about it.
How about hot air? Oh, no, that's air. Hot air balloon. Can't go submarine. That's by sea. I'm not sure. And finally, their last one was, this is a very common one. Will you watch my pet while I'm away?
The travel agent?
The travel agent. Now that you've talked me into this trip and I'm extending it, will you watch my pet?
That's funny. Well, then that means that travel agent needs to find a dog sitter and be the middleman there.
Yeah. So travel agents do have a lot on their plate, and tour organizers, and I don't know. Those are pretty funny, though. We need to get some more of those because people like those, and I can't even believe what I'm reading. In fact, I'm saving that, and a year from now, we'll read those again because we're not going to remember that.
They're still going to be good.
Yeah, they will be good, or they'll probably come out with another list about bizarre requests. Something I want to give you a heads up on just because you might be traveling for the holidays. You want to start thinking about it now. I know Allie was laughing. She's she travels all the time, but yet they pulled some of her bottles and stuff out. There still is a TSA security checkpoint still has a 3-1-1 rule, limit liquid containers to 3.4 ounce in a single 1-quart clear plastic bag and only one per person. Don't try to take water bottles into the airport with you. You can take them into the airport, but you can't take them through your check-in.
Past the checkpoint.
Yeah, they're going to throw them away. They have a collection of water bottles full of water, and even the little ones, no liquids, you can't take them in like that. So keep larger bottles of liquids, gels, aerosols in a checked luggage or buy at the destination. No fireworks in any luggage, no blades, knives of any size packed in bags. Firearms need to be checked luggage only and report them at check-in. Electronics bigger than phones will be scanned separately so that still, if you aren't TSA pre-check, you're going to have to pull that laptop out of your bag, so don't pack it at the bottom because they are going to want to scan that separately. So remember that. So that is why you want to join TSA pre-check or Global Entry to take care of that so you don't have to remove your shoes, you don't have to pull the laptop out or the liquids. They will, like I say, they will take your water bottle away, but otherwise it's a breeze, so you want to do that. All their tips is have everything online at tsa.cares. Again, that's it's TSA Cares. They have their helpline, but you can check it all out and know exactly what you can take or can't take before you go on a trip. So you don't have to worry about it once you're over there, especially at the airport, and have to unpack everything in front of everybody because you never get it back in the suitcase the way you had packed it that time.
Nope.
Never. And then you think to yourself, when I was pulling all that stuff out for that laptop, I thought, how did I do this in the first place?
Right.
Because now it's all over the place. I have it on the side. People are looking at me. There was stuff everywhere. All right. On that note, that's about it. Like I say, next week, we are going to be right back in our travel mode here on the show. We're going to talk about safaris in Kenya, migration. In the first hour, we have, I think, a couple guests that will be joining us. I know we have Joe Rosen from the Parkinson's Resource Center. Everyone have a good one. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next time. And remember, it's never too late to get a life.